Welcome and thank you for listening to our Sunday broadcast. Join us as we receive from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God today from Pastor Robert Jackson of Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord, North Carolina.
Spice it up, make it be good for the funeral. His body was gone. He was not there. But there was two, we know now, angels, but they were as men in white clothes. One was at the feet and one was at the head of where the body was supposed to be. And they're like, they're afraid and they bow down their faces to the earth. And they said to them, the angels said to these ladies, why seek ye the living among the dead? Amen. Jesus is not dead. They wanted him to be dead. The religious people, the devil wanted him dead. But the devil just played right into the Father's hands. Why seek thee the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember, say remember. Remember how he spoke unto you while he was yet in Galilee. It matters what Jesus has said. When he says something, it's covenant. When Jesus went to the cross for the sins of the world, he went for you and he went for me. That's the power of the cross. See, that cross brought in Jew and Gentile to covenant. His blood was spilt for the remission of our sins, and it was a perfect and a finished work. That's called Calvary. And through the cross, Jesus gave us all the opportunity to be saved. How? By simply asking for his forgiveness. And once you ask, receive. Is that right, Ree? Tammy asked and she claimed it. See, Jesus has given the gift of salvation on the cross, the power of the cross. And all we have to do is ask for that forgiveness and receive. Mark 11:23 says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. And when I received, when I believed on Jesus, I received him. It was the power of that cross. It came inside my life and I became a new creation. I didn't look different on the outside, but on the inside, I knew something had changed. I went from death to life. His forgiveness and receiving his salvation is through the blood. Life is in the blood. Jesus rose from the dead 3 days after his crucifixion. His work as a man was complete, as the Son of Man. He had lived our way and successfully sinned not. Jesus said, I quote, the evil one, the devil, has nothing in me. Nothing. The devil had no place in Jesus. For every time he tempted him, Jesus replied, it's written. And Jesus didn't just, it wasn't a silent prayer. It was, Jesus spoke these words. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. That wasn't the only three temptations. The devil tempted him in all kinds of ways through his closest disciple, Peter. When Jesus said to Peter, I got to go to the cross. I got to be, the Son of Man's got to be mutilated and all this. And Peter's like, no, Lord, no, Lord. Not so. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You speak not the things of God. But he was speaking through Peter to the spirit of disobedience that works to the children that were separated from the covenant of God. But Jesus still had faith in Peter. But Jesus had to take care of the devil. He had to take care of those words, that spirit. So when Jesus rose, it was an open display of victory over the devil. Complete victory. What happened in the garden so many years before has now been rectified. We've been justified. We've been sanctified. Let me go. We've been justified means just as if you'd never sinned. Sanctified is now I've been set apart to do his service. Amen. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Devil, you better look out. Amen. Look out. Jesus came out. He came out of that grave. And when he came out, I came out. Come on, Shambok. Throw me a little bit of that anointing on me. RW. Come on. Hit RW. Hit RJ. You ain't got no problem, brother. All you need is faith in God. That was his quote. Have you ever heard the story how that came to him? Brother Shambach, he had problems. And he was a preacher. He was a Navy man running against God and finally gave his life to the Lord while he was out on a ship out in the seas. Repented, gave his life to Jesus. He was running from the call and then turned to the call. But he said, I can't remember if this was after he was saved or before. I think it was after he was saved. He had problems. He didn't know what to do, whether he didn't have no money. He'd been praying all night, asking for the Lord, seeking advice, seeking direction. I need a word, Lord. I need a word. And then I think he was praying. He got out of his truck, laying out in the field, probably prostrate, praying. And he got back in the car and the radio came on. And it said, brother, you ain't got no problem. I don't know who it was, but it was a preacher. He says, all you need is faith in God. And that just picked Brother Shambach up. So all the problems, he says, all you got to do is have trust in God, faith in God, the power of the cross. The power of the cross. Jesus conquered hell, death, and the grave. And he opened the door for all of us to have access to the Father. Jesus is the door. And don't be like me. Don't walk in one of those oscillating doors with my wife when we went to, you know, it's one of those ones that's hard to get, you know, if you don't get out quick, man, you're going back in the same direction. Walk in and get out of that thing. Jesus is the door. Don't walk in and then walk out. Stay in Christ. Amen. Stay in Christ. Jesus ascended into heaven after his earthly ministry to take his rightful place beside the Father, seated at the right hand of God the Father. The scripture tells us that he is seated until his enemies be made his footstool. He's in his recliner. He's in the easy chair. See, Jesus did the work. Now, he's still working. He's still praying for us and interceding for us. But he is seated, and we're seated with him. And there is our authority. That's where our authority. We've got to know we're seated in him, in his power, in that victory. Forever, Jesus makes intercession on our behalf. His physical work on earth may have been finished, but Jesus continues to work from the throne every day. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. He never sleeps nor slumbers. Neither does the Father nor the Son. A lot of times as Christians, we come to church, we follow our, we're doing a tradition this morning, 7 o'clock. You know, we're actually going to work in the times in there. We're probably going to go to 7 and then 9 o'clock. We're working things out. That becomes a tradition. Nothing wrong with that. As long as we don't just continue our traditions and not ask God, well, what do you think, God? You know, let's involve him in the equation, right? Because if he gets in the equation, the total will be a whole lot better than what you could come up with. I like, how does the bank do your, if you borrow money from the bank, sometimes they'll do like a compound. They'll just keep taking the interest, keep pounding that interest in you. Amen. I want God's blessings in my life. And when Jesus ascended to heaven, we have all the entitlements of that blessing. Amen. The scripture tells us, and where a lot of times as Christians, we go to church and we follow our traditions, but sometimes we don't even consider the great miraculous reason for the resurrection celebration. We can kind of get caught up in the traditions of the eating and all the activities that go on, and we can miss the real power that's in it. The resurrection is about a risen Savior, Christ Jesus, and that he's alive. Amen. And he lives forevermore to live big through us and for us. Think about that. Don't let that miracle slip away from you. Remember these songs that you sang this morning. Don't just quit singing them today. Sing them all through the day. Because this is an event that happened and changed the course of not only history, but it changed my life. And if you receive Jesus, it's changed yours. So without the resurrection, our religion would be just like any other, just a set of moral codes that we follow. But because of the resurrection, we can know without a shadow of a doubt that we serve a living, miracle-working Jesus. Everything he said is true about you. Amen. Everything. And the only thing I can remember Jesus said about you, you are good. To Mary Magdalene, the one that was caught in the act of adultery, he said, what sin? Where's your accusers? And they left because they had sin. Jesus didn't have no sin, but the law said stone her, but Jesus said, forgive her. See, there's a new law. It's called the law of love. Forgive her. But then he said, now, neither do I to condemn you. Go sin no more. She knew it was sin when she was doing it. And Jesus said, don't forget the great love that's been given to you today. And through that power, Jesus gave her the power not to sin anymore. The forgiveness. And then he said, go sin no more. That was power that you could go and not do that sin no more. And Jesus hadn't been risen from the dead yet, but it carried that power. And if you'll see, Mary Magdalene made a choice. See, she followed Jesus. You keep on reading. She gave money into his ministry. See, she believed. She had been forgiven much. And what did she do? She started serving Jesus. You need to serve Jesus. There's a blessing in serving that only can come from him. Amen? And it don't have, I mean, do it here at church for the Lord, but I'm talking about it goes past this building. Serving your neighbor. Blessing your enemy. The homeless, the shut-in, those that need Jesus. Amen? We don't serve a boring God. Amen? To look at some Christians, you would think that. But that's when you got to give them some resurrection life and power. Amen? Before Christ, there's no way I would get up at 7 o'clock here and be here. Because it was a boring, to me, it was boring. Why? Because I wasn't serving the God of the Bible, I was serving the God of Robert. The self-seeking God. Me, I was my God. And I worked all week, and Sunday was my day. And I was going, I'm telling you how I used to be. That was my day. That was my week that I worked hard, and I'm going to rest on my day. But now I found out it's the Lord's day. Every day is his day. Amen? And he don't make me come. He didn't make me get saved. He wanted me saved. He saw me serving. He saw me ministering his word. I didn't, but he did. And he just kept praying for me up in heaven. He just kept seeing me preaching his word. See, our faith is a supernatural faith. It goes beyond reasoning. I said it goes beyond reasoning. Faith is not reasoning. Faith is supernatural. It comes from the heart. Amen. It started with a miracle, the virgin birth. Christ's life, it was a miracle. He sinned not. He obeyed mama all the way up. You know, we think about when he got baptized. No, he listened to mama all the way up. Fold your clothes, pick up your room, vacuum your room. Yes, ma'am, Mary. Yes, mama. He did it, amen. Come on. Come on, kids. I failed there too. That would be a miracle when I was a kid. And Jesus sinned not. He did miracle after miracle during his ministry, more than all the books of the world, the Bible says, can contain. And all those miracles and those miracles that he began, they never stopped. We're not going to let them stop. We're still going to see miracles. We're going to see lives change. We're going to see bodies healed. We're going to see eyes open. We're going to hear the deaf. They're going to hear. The blind are going to see. And there's greater things. Even today, people call upon the name of Jesus and receive miraculous works like salvation, healing, deliverance, favor, and more. They call on a living Jesus. A living Jesus. Amen. Because some people just see Jesus as a great prophet. They don't see him as a risen Savior. They will not see miracles. Because you got to believe in your heart. You got to believe on Jesus. He says, you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. So because of the cross, we have access, total access to the God of the universe. The one that, you know, everybody had, you have a fingerprint that's only yours. Nobody else has your fingerprint. Ain't that awesome? You are wonderfully made. Nobody's like you. No flesh like you. So because of the cross, that access we have to God, and that gives us access to miracles. He's alive. And because he lives, we can live in peace. We can live in joy, love, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, and every other good thing from where? The Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. Well, Pastor, I don't feel joy. Well, don't tell me how you feel. Tell me what's on the inside. What's the word say about you? What does the word say? See, that's the mirror you got to look at. We wouldn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or the ability to produce his fruit in our life if it were not for the resurrection. Because before Jesus arose, the Holy Spirit couldn't come within. He could only come upon our flesh. He couldn't get in that back into our heart because there was a wall there that only God could rip it up. When Jesus died on the cross, it says the veil in the temple was ripped from the bottom up. In other words, no longer do I have to go to a man, to a priest, and ask him to sprinkle the blood and bring my sacrifice. No, I bring my sacrifice to Jesus as my sacrifice. And through his blood, through his redemption, we can now boldly come to the throne of grace and find that grace and mercy that we need amen, to get help from. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth and all that it is. It is what has sealed our faith, that Holy Spirit. He has sealed us until the day of redemption. So when we say, let's say this together, he is risen. He is risen. We're not just repeating the words of an angel. We're declaring the victory of all humanity. Together, we say, he is risen. We have hope because he's risen. That's where the hope is. It's in the Lord. Not only is he risen, but Jesus, like we said out here, he folded that napkin. He folded that napkin, which meant I'm finished, but I'm coming back. In other words, he was done, but I'm not finished. He's coming back. Amen? That master wasn't quite finished yet. There's still work to be done. He's coming back for us. Amen? He's coming back for his church. But how can you know that he's coming back for you? How do you know? You look to the scriptures. You look to the word of God. This is where your hope comes from. The word is full of faith. It's full of life. If you turn with me, Acts chapter 1. Now, the book is called the Acts of the Apostles, but also you could say the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Because this is what started happening on the day of Pentecost. After the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit now indwelled the believer. Now we've got a bunch of little Christians out here. Christians, disciples of Christ. So there was one Christ, but then when he rose, and he said, now the Father's going to give you another gift, another comforter. He's going to be just like me. And 120 people believed it and stayed and prayed in Jerusalem in the upper room. And on the day of Pentecost, a sound is a mighty rushing wind. Now it'd be a good time for that train to come by. Just boom. Like a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit came in and it said it set. He set. He's not an it. He's a person. He set upon them. And there was a sign there was upon their heads. It's a clothing tongue of fire. Why? Because your tongue can be your greatest gift or your greatest adversary. That little tongue right there. And God knew it. And he sent the Holy Ghost. He said, now sit on their tongues. Amen. Sit on their tongues. Sit on their head. But see, they had that 120. There was a lot of other people that Jesus saw and brought miracles to. But only 120 stuck around enough and received, all of them, received the infilling and spoke in tongues and magnified God in all different languages. Ain't that awesome? So Acts 1, 6 through 11, talking about Jesus coming back and the miracles. He's a risen Savior. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth, Concord, Mooresville, North Carolina. The Holy Ghost. There's no limit with God. There's no space with God. There's no time with God. There's no limits with the Lord. Amen? And when Jesus had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, received up into the heaven. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Can you imagine this? Can you get a picture of this? They're talking to Jesus physically. This is after the resurrection. And he's speaking to them. And they're watching him ascend. This is Jesus. Man, this is my buddy. This is my friend. This is my pastor, man. Jesus, where are you going? And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, here comes them two men again. They were in the tomb. Now they're showing up again. And they stood by them in white apparel. And they said, ye men, that means men and women, you men and women of Galilee, why stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from heaven from you, shall so come. Here's our hope. He shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Ain't that awesome? He's coming back. So just like he went up, Jesus is coming back down. It's going to be full circle. Full circle. He's coming back. It's called family. We're going to have a family reunion, one of those hallelujah meetings in the sky. That's one of those Whitman Park songs they sing. We're going to have a hallelujah meeting in the sky. And the Bible talks about a generation that will not see death. I'm just thinking they're talking about us now. We are real close to the Lord's return. I'm talking about the rapture of the church, the snatching away of the church. Because the Bible talks about when you see all these things taking place on the earth, earthquakes multiplied, volcanoes erupting, children rebelling against their parents, against all this kind of rebellion going on, all this promoting wickedness as in the days of Noah. All men's hearts darkened. Jesus said, when you see these things, look down. Now, what did he say? Yeah, look up. Because he says, I'm coming. Your redemption draws near. When you see that, that ain't the time to look down. That's the time. Have you ever done that? You know, you as a teenager, you've done this thing. You're walking, all of a sudden, you start walking up, and there's nothing up there, but then everybody else starts looking up. You know, like, what are they looking at? So don't be looking down, because if you look down, man, people are going to start looking. Look up, man, your redemption. Look up. Invoke a conversation. What you looking at? I'm waiting. What you waiting on? His return? Who? Jesus. Have you not read the scriptures? Have you not read the book of Revelation? Have you not read? No, I haven't so much as heard. There'd be a Jesus. You know, there's people that haven't heard about Jesus. I'm talking about the real Jesus. I'm talking about the miracle working Jesus. I'm talking about the Jesus that loves you so much, he'll tell you, you're missing it right here, but I want to help you. I'm talking about a risen Savior that has power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in his blood. So I think the Bible talks about this generation that will not see physical death. I believe we're that generation. Jesus Christ is coming for people that love him and are looking for his return. Now, when the Father says, time's up, when the Father says, son, the fullness of the Gentiles is full, when the Father says, it's time, Jesus is coming. When the Father says, go, he's going, so we need to be ready. We don't need to be preparing. Preparing's done. We need to be ready. You know, there's preparation time, and then there's being ready. Re-prepared, but then when we got here, the food was ready. Okay, Jesus has prepared the ground. He has prepared through the resurrection. He has prepared the way. Right? It's done. The way is done. Now we better be ready for his return. In other words, we know Jesus. Because when he's coming for those that have called on his name and are wearing his mark. Don't get focused on the mark of the beast. Focus on, do you have the mark of God in your forehead? It's not a physical mark, it's a spiritual mark. It's the blood of Jesus. You've called on Jesus and his blood, man, you are born again. It's a spiritual mark. See, the mark of the beast, it's going to be a physical mark. I ain't taking it. I don't think I'm going to be here when it gets to that. The stage is being set up for it. It's all around us. But is Jesus sweating it? Is he sweating in heaven? Oh, man, he's getting close to the mark. Father's getting close to the mark. He ain't worried about the devil. Jesus ain't focused on the devil. He's done defeated him. He's wanting to know what the church is going to do. Occupy till I come. You know, we have an occupancy limit out here. I think it's like 130-something. We ain't full yet. Amen. So we got work to do, Terry. Amen. If we fill it up, we'll go to 2 services. 3 if we need be. If it gets past that, the Lord's going to build another church. Amen. But I'm not focused on that. I'm just focused on giving you the word, feeding you the word, building you up with the word. And the word will bring fruit of its own kind. As you go out and start telling people about Jesus, the church starts getting bigger. Amen? That's all you got to do. You just share the word. You share the seed. The growing is not your responsibility, because just like you put the seed in the ground, you don't know how. You don't keep digging up the seed. Don't keep going to that unlost loved one and keep saying, when you come to church, when you come to church, when you come to church, just plant the seed and let God do the work. Now, you love them, keep praying for them, but just don't keep nagging them and nagging them, because you keep asking them. You just got to show them Christ. Amen. In other words, start talking. You ain't got to talk about when you come to church. Just start talking about what happened at church. What I had for breakfast at church. Man, we went through a half a gallon of chocolate. I asked for chocolate milk. I got it. And we didn't leave none. It was an empty container. So I wasn't the only one that had a desire for chocolate milk. Because Reed asked for something special you'd like to have. And I had just talked about how when I was in elementary school, we used to have chocolate milk contest, a nickel a cup. I'd go home with a bloated belly. You know, I'm talking about 10 to 12 cartons of milk we would drink at breakfast, because I just love chocolate milk. So when Reed, at the end of Wednesday night service, he said, there's anything special? And I'm like, chocolate milk. And Tammy, I got what I asked for. Half a gallon. Not a drop left. Jesus released all his life into his blood. That was special. It was blood that was given. Every drop came from his body has been presented to the Father and sprinkled on the Holy of Holies. And it cries out, free. Free. Thank God we are free. Amen. Every drop has been shed and every drop has been contained and taken to heaven, where it remains an ever eternal sacrifice for me. And for you, and for all that will call upon his name. Amen? You're talking about something special. That's only what God could do, is to forgive men's sin of the entire world forever. Amen? And all you got to do, like I say, is ask. Believe. Lord, I believe you are God's son. And if you believe, then you'll act on what you believe. If you believe in your heart, and then you confess that, confess it to somebody. I tell you, when I got born again, I started telling people about Jesus. I couldn't keep it inside. That was a sign that I had been born again. The Holy Spirit bared witness with my spirit, and I had to tell somebody about what happened. Amen. And people noticed what happened. Don't know that you are different. Amen. So on that great day, wait a minute. Don't go too far. So Jesus Christ, he's coming for people that love him and are looking for his return. The word tells us that there will be many signs before his return. Some of which are physical groanings of the planet and beyond. And I'm excited that he's coming again. Soon and very soon. And on that great day, the most exciting place on the earth, listen to this now, you wouldn't think about this, or just gave y'all a multiple choice on this one. The most exciting place on earth on that great day is going to be the graveyard. Some places that people don't like to go, especially when it's dark. But if you're there and you're born again, you ain't going to be there long. Because when the time, when the Father says go, and Jesus comes and he splits, and that trumpet sounds, and he says, come up hither, those graveyards are going to be busting loose of those that have been asleep. Now, they're with Jesus, but those that have been asleep in Christ, they're going to be the first ones that's going to hit. Come up out of that graveyard. The Bible teaches us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a trumpet. We're talking about a trumpet. With the blow of that trumpet and with the shout of the archangel. Got a lot of shouting be going on in heaven. But some people, listen, some people on the earth are going to hear it. It just sounds like thunder to those that do not know the shepherd's voice. But to those that know his voice, they're going to hear his voice. But to others, they're going to think it's just thunder. The Bible says there's going to be two in the field. One shall be left, one shall be taken. That's two Christians. The sinner, he's going to be left anyway. There's going to be two in the field, one left, one taken. There's some Christians that's going to be left that's got to go through some stuff that really ain't looking for Jesus, not looking for his return. They're still going to be saved. They got to go through. They can't denounce Jesus. They can't take the mark of the beast. So it's going to be a rough time down here. Thank you, Lord. But with a shout, with a voice, this is in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, might be you, Wayne, you might add your trumpet in there. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then if it goes on, and then those that remain in Christ, see, those that remain are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. It's like an atomic second. In other words, the graves are opened up. Next thing you know, beaming me up, Jesus. You know, your body's being changed and taken to the Lord. What a glorious day that's going to be. When I hear that song, Glorious Day, I always think about Michelle Fisher. She loved to come up here and she liked to sing that in the praise team. Oh, glorious day. She's experiencing it right now. Amen. She's experiencing that glorious day. So some people walking near a graveyard, they're probably going to die from heart attack, heart failure when they see the dead come out of them graves. Those are not in Christ. But that's exactly what's going to happen. Ain't no grave, if Leslie McKinney was here, that was one of her grandma's favorites, ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Amen. Coming up out of the grave. Then, we're believing the generation is not going to see death. And then then it's our turn, Terry. It's our turn. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We ain't talking about these little white puffy clouds up here. They're beautiful. We're talking about the Shekinah glory of God. The cloud, remember the cloud that kept the Israelite and the children of Israel? The cloud by day and the fire by night? That cloud was God's. It was the Shekinah glory of God manifesting in the earth. We're going to be received up into those clouds, into his presence forevermore. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord, to meet the Lord in the cloud. That last verse in that passage, it's what I want to share and close with you today. Verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Those that remain shall be changed. Comfort yourself. Get a revelation of the truth about Jesus Christ. He's alive. It's the greatest proclamation ever spoken. He's alive. And I think about, you know, sometimes you just want to You want to reach out and you just want to touch a physical Jesus. Why? Because God created us that way. He created us with a body. It's not good that man be alone. It's not good that we'd be alone. Vivian's not here for this service. Is Vivian Cohan? Yeah, Vivian got a part-time job. She came to our morning service. See, when the Bible says it's not good to be alone. Now, Vivian and Pastor Bob, they were together for many years. Married, serving God, raising the family. For many years, Miss Vivian loved to minister to in the children's ministry, in children's church. Ever since we met them in Mooresville. And have we not taken up the offering yet? Jesus. Well, it's going to be at the end of the service. I see guys back here. I'm like, whoa. See, that's a good church. They won't let you get out without, they want to give. They don't forget. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I was up early this week. I was up early. But anyway, what was I talking about? Miss Vivian, yes. Yeah, and Bob, how that, you know, Bob's desire for his wife, my desire for my wife, it's not for you to be alone. Where did that desire come from? It came from the Word. It came from God. It's not good. This is in the beginning. It's not good that we'd be alone. And Miss Vivian was telling us that she got a part-time job. She's going to be sitting with the elderly. She's going to be giving care, caregiving, Judy. Ain't that awesome? But what I see there, I see God meeting the need. Vivian, she don't care to be alone. She's never been alone. And it's in serving somebody else that's alone that you come together and you live your life full with hope and with joy and with expectancy. See, now she can pour her life into somebody else. And see, she's going to be so much stronger. It ain't about the job. It's about the ministry. It's about the ministry. Jesus, he knew he had to leave, but he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter, just like me. Just like me. Now, you couldn't see him on the outside, but the Spirit is one. They're the same. God's love is the same. He's love. His Spirit is love. See, I see Christ in you by your love. Being here shows me you love Jesus. Amen. And it's not good to be alone. I was alone without Jesus many years. So if you're here today and you've never made Jesus, you've never given your life to Jesus, now is your day. What a finer day you could have to set apart today and make it resurrection day that I gave my life to Jesus. You want to know something that you can remember forever? If you can remember that day, I got born again on resurrection morning. What do you do? Just ask Jesus. Say, Lord, I need you. I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And you say yes to Jesus. And he'll come in and he'll sup with you. And he'll come in and he'll love you. And he'll give you everlasting life and joy and peace. And you'll want to go to church and you'll want to be with people that love Jesus. And when you leave, you'll be full. Full of the love, full of the Word to go bring life to somebody else. And that's all you got to do is just put faith in Jesus. He loves you unconditionally. Amen. So if you made that confession today, if you're here in this church, we'd love for you to come down so we can just pray and agree with you. And I'd say, too, if you got born again and you've never let the Holy Spirit anoint you, let Jesus anoint you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, that baptism. You need that baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. It gives you the power to be a witness. If you need that prayer, I'd ask you to come down after the service. We'll be glad to pray with you. And also, before we leave, we're gonna receive an offering today. Amen. We might bless Reed this morning for preparing and those that prepared all the food this morning. You know what? We're a blessed church. We got work that needs to be done in the yard, but the church is debt-free and we got money in the bank and we're getting it done. When needs arise, God has already met the needs, and it's because of you guys got faith in the Word and in this church. So as you give this morning, know that you're being a blessing to others. Jesus said it's more blessed to give. And no greater day to give than on the greatest day when Jesus gave his life and then the Father received him out of that grave and gave us his life. A good life, the Zoe life, the God kind of life. To go out of this place knowing that every need has been met, and when you give, God's ready to bless you. He's going to bless some of you before you get back home. I just know God. In Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We receive this offering today as your people give. Lord, we have a purpose, Lord. We were created for a purpose to bring honor and glory to you, Jesus. And, Lord, we ask you, there's some of us here that don't know, that are still asking for their divine purpose. Lord, what have you directly called us to do? The Lord said, I've called you and I've anointed you to go love people. Just like Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Look in the Gospels, Jesus said. Look in the Gospels. What you see me do, do likewise. And I will destroy the places the enemy has built up for you. I will destroy them like a dam. With the water of the washing of my word, I will move those obstacles that's been in your life from generation to generation. Don't think about a generational curse. Think about the generational blessings that come when you serve Jesus. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for we speak against the wall, the dam of religion that would blind men to the gospel, to the truth that Jesus is alive and he loves every creature that he put on this earth. And, Father, we just thank you for that. As your people give today, Lord, they give with the purpose to be a blessing. And I just speak the blessing back to their lives in Jesus' name. Our ushers will serve, and then after the serve, if you need prayer, we'll be glad to pray with you. I'll tell you what.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.